Thank you for that reminder that there is indeed so much to be thankful for. And just as a reminder, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we will be having our Thanksgiving Eve service at 7 o'clock. And one of the joys of that service is the opportunity for everyone to share what they are thankful for. And it certainly has been... Don't need me to tell you it's been an unusual year, and but I am hopeful that you have been able to find many things to be thankful for throughout this year, even in the midst of all of the challenges and difficulties. God has given us a real opportunity in the midst of all of this to have clarity about those things that are really important and the things that we really do need and the things that we need moving forward. I'm excited about the opportunities that are coming this Christmas season to reach out to people coming for the new year. We will be having some outreach opportunities after the beginning of the year to kind of re-engage our neighborhood and some more opportunities to engage with one another, to take steps in continuing to grow as disciples. And so God has positioned us well to continue to be light and salt here in our community and to minister to those who are in need, and I hope that we will take opportunity to do that. I invite you to turn in the scripture to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I believe it is also printed on the bulletin insert if you don't have your scripture with you. After this message, we will probably be taking a break from Colossians until after the beginning of the year, looking at a Thanksgiving message, and then looking at some messages for Advent and Christmas on the following Sundays. And so, Walking Well with Christ is the title of this morning's message. There are some thoughts about what it means to walk well with Jesus. Preacher Charles Stanley said that as you walk through the valley of the unknown, you will find the footprints of Jesus both in front of you and beside you. And that has certainly been true of this year. We've walked through a lot of valleys of unknown. And I trust that as we have walked well with Jesus, that we have found his footprints both in front of us and beside us. Also, John Eldridge said that only by walking with God can we hope to find the path that leads us to life. That is what it means to be a disciple. After all, aren't we followers of Christ? Then by all means, let's actually follow him. Not ideas about him, not just his principles, but him. What a great reminder that is that as disciples, our call is to follow him. That's what Jesus called his disciples to do, was to follow him, to walk with him. And they did so. They had 3 short years to be able to prepare for Jesus and his departure, and to be prepared to take this message that we hold on to now 2,000 years later, and to be able to share it in such a way where the Holy Spirit worked and brought salvation to thousands upon thousands because of the faithfulness that they had in walking well with Jesus. And Paul wanted to encourage the church at Colossae to walk well with Jesus and to walk faithfully with him. And even today, he continues to do the same thing with us, that as we gather together to worship and we gather together to study and to encourage one another, the goal is to be able to walk well with him. How do we do that? How do we continue to walk well with Jesus? In these 2 short verses, we find some principles that we can hold on to, that as we live our lives day by day and week by week, we can use these principles to remind ourselves how to walk well with Jesus. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, reads as follows: Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. What principles? How do we walk well with Jesus? To walk well with Jesus, first of all, means that we have to have received him. Paul's goal for the church was for them to walk with Jesus. That's what that verse says in verse 6. As you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, or the Lord, so walk with him. He wanted them to be walking closely and walking daily with him as they have received him. To walk means to live like him. When we're walking with Jesus, our lives are reflecting the one we're walking with. Our lives are reflecting Jesus. We're reflecting his love and his goodness and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And all of those qualities and all of those things about Jesus that we cherish and we hold on to, the goal in walking with him is for us to walk like him as well, is to be like him, so that as we encounter others in the world that don't know Jesus, they can see us and they can see Jesus in us. They can see his love in the way in which we interact. They can see his grace in the way in which we are gracious towards others. They can see his mercy in the way that we are merciful towards others. So to walk with Jesus means to live like him, to have a conscious submission to the lordship of Christ. And that is a challenge at times and a very difficult thing at times to say that we are going to have a total conscious submission to the lordship of Christ. And yet in order to walk with him, we have to receive Jesus that way. We can't come to Jesus with any pride or pretense and say, okay, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and Lord, but I'm still going to be in charge. That's not the way that we receive him. We receive him like children. We receive him as the sinners that we are, saying, thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for providing grace and mercy, realizing that I am a sinner, realizing that I have fallen short, and yet you loved me enough to send Jesus to die for me, and I accept that salvation that was paid for by his price on the cross. We also accept that he is our Lord as well. To receive Christ Jesus the Lord to mean meant to accept him, or to receive that teaching as it was being transmitted. And there are many places, even in the beginning part of Colossians chapter 1, that Paul commended them about what they were hearing and learning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. And then in verse 7, just as you have learned it, this word of truth from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. And then even later in verse 23 of that same chapter, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. There was a hearing and a transmission of communication. So they were receiving Christ, not only Christ as Savior and Lord, but they were continuing to receive the word so that they were growing in the word and they were growing in their understanding of the word so that they could continue to walk with him. And how desperately they needed that in the midst of all of that heresy that was going on and all of those half-truths and lies that were being preached around them. And how desperately we need that today in the midst of all of the half-truths and lies that are being preached around us. We need to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, and we need to receive the truth that is being taught, where, you know, solid biblical truth, places that we know that we can go and we can get the word so that we can continue to walk with him. This walk is a continuous walk. It's not one that's designed to walk a little bit and then say, okay, Jesus, I've walked far enough with you now. I'm going to take a little break. You go on ahead. And then when I feel ready, I'm going to catch up with you. I'm going to catch up with you being a disciple. You know, this is too tough right now. So we've all felt that way perhaps on walks, that we've walked a little too hard and a little too fast and our bodies need to catch up. But that's not how the spiritual life is intended to be. It's not intended for us to walk a little way with Jesus and then let Jesus walk ahead of us and I'll catch you. I'll be right with you, Jesus. He wants us to be walking with him step by step. Therefore, in light of all of this, the fact that you've received Jesus as Savior and Lord, the fact that you've received this truth, therefore, walk with him. Continue to walk with him. Continue to receive that knowledge from Jesus. It's interesting in that sixth verse. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, in places we hear Christ, places we hear Jesus, and places we hear Lord throughout Scripture. Here, Paul puts them in one big package for us. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. He couldn't be any more definitive, any more demonstrative, and any more clear about who we are to be receiving. Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one, as we will be looking at in these next several weeks, that fulfilled prophecy in coming to earth and fulfilled prophecy in going to the cross. There are so many ways, as we know, that Christ has fulfilled the prophetic word of the Old Testament, and that is the Christ that he is talking about, the anointed one, the Messiah. Jesus, that Greek word for Joshua, the Lord is salvation, and we'll be looking at that over the next several weeks as well. The one who is Emmanuel, that is God with us, the one who has come to save people from their sins. And then Lord, that the Lordship of Christ that gathers up all of those truths and all of those commandments and directs us to be walking in full and complete submission to him, step by step, day by day, walking with Jesus as Lord. Billy Graham said in his book, The Annals of America, some decades ago, that no man can be said to be truly converted to Christ who has not bent his will to Christ. He may give intellectual assent to the claims of Christ and may have had an emotional religious experience. However, he is not truly converted unless he has surrendered his will to Christ as Lord, Savior, and Master. So, what principle do we have about walking well with Jesus? The first principle that we have is that we have to receive him. We can't walk with Jesus, Christ Jesus, the Lord, if he is not the Lord of our lives. We can't walk well that way. And if we're not firmly connected into learning truth, there's no way to be able to do that. So we need to walk well with Jesus by receiving him. But in addition to that, we need to have a strong foundation as we're walking well with him. Beginning of verse 7, Paul uses several word pictures here to describe the foundation needed to walk well, to live well in walking with him. The first one is, it says, having been firmly rooted. That is an agricultural term where when we are saved, we put down our roots deep into Jesus. And the idea is that our roots are going to continue to grow deeper and deeper and deeper into Jesus each day. He wanted the Colossian church to be firmly rooted. Any of us that have done any kind of gardening at all know that there are some things that are firmly rooted, and they're usually weeds. It's easy to pull the flowers out, but you go to pull the weeds out and you feel like you're having a battle. Why? Because it's firmly rooted. Or you're trying to dig something up and it doesn't look like it should have a big root system, and you get out the shovel and you try to go beneath the root system. That thing isn't going anywhere because it's firmly rooted. And much in the same way, God wants us to be firmly rooted in Jesus. It reminds me, as I think about it, of the very first psalm. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. That's how he wants us to be deeply rooted in him, like that tree that's firmly planted, so that we can be producing fruit. In addition to that, the scripture says being firmly rooted and now being built up in him. That's an architectural term, that our lives are built upon the foundation of Christ. In order to build any kind of architectural design, in order for it to sustain itself, you have to have a firm foundation. You can't have a foundation that's weak and expect for the structure on top to be solid. Our foundation has to be firmly rooted in Jesus, and we have to have that firm foundation. Two wonderfully opposite examples. Many of you might be familiar with the architect Frank Lloyd Wright. He was given the challenge of building the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, one of the, obviously the most earthquake-prone cities in the entire world. His investigation showed that a solid foundation could be floated on a 60-foot layer of soft mud underlying the hotel, which would provide a shock-absorbing but solid support for the immense building that was going to go on top of it. Shortly after the hotel was completed, it withstood the worst earthquake in 52 years, while lesser buildings fell in ruins around it. Building a firm foundation. I wonder how well that's working out for the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Not a firm foundation. The firm foundation for that tower was only 10 feet deep. And that's a result of what's happening, is that foundation was built on something not solid, and as the foundation sank, so did that which was on top of it. So Paul is trying to tell and write to these Christians and saying, if you want to walk with me, your lives have been firmly rooted in Jesus, and you have to be built up in him. You have to have a solid foundation. And the scripture also says that you need to be established in your faith. Established in the faith, firmly planted in Christ. How strong is our faith? Strengthened in the faith is another way of translating it. And so how do we strengthen our faith and establish our faith? We are firmly rooted in the teachings of Jesus. We build it upon a solid foundation. And then upon that foundation, we're strengthened in the faith. We strengthen each other, don't we? That's part of what strengthens our faith, is that we're strengthening one another, encouraging one another, walking with one another. Over this summer, we had our front steps that had to be repaired because they had started to crumble and fall apart. And we had a mason come in, and they had to do all of the repointing. One of the things that we realize about a firm foundation and strengthening those steps, we could put all of the bricks, or they could put all of the bricks back exactly where they were, and if there wasn't the mortar in between it, that thing was going to crumble. What held the bricks together was the mortar, and what holds the church together is our faith in Christ, and then also sticking with one another and encouraging one another, strengthened in the faith. Yes, we're strengthened in the faith by how we walk with Jesus, but we're strengthened in the faith by how we walk with each other and how we depend on one another to grow and to be encouraged. We need to be established in the faith. So how do we walk well with him? We walk well by having a strong foundation. We can't obtain the kind of stability that we need through our own inner faith, our own experiences, our own feelings. It comes from solid teaching, and it comes, as the scripture says in verse 7, established in your faith just as you were instructed. He was telling them to come back to the instruction that was taking place from his letter and from Epaphras that was there. Go back to that instruction, depend on it, and then depend on one another to walk well and have a strong foundation. If we want to continue to walk well with Jesus, we walk well with Jesus by receiving him. It starts with knowing Jesus. We can't walk with a Jesus we don't know. We have to know him personally. And then we have to have a strong foundation. And then finally, we walk well with Jesus. In order to do that, we have to abound in thanksgiving. As we faithfully walk with him and he faithfully continues to walk with us, and we build this firm foundation in the faith and in the truth and in depending on one another, it will lead to an abundance of gratitude or thanksgiving, overflowing with gratitude. That's the place that he wants our hearts to be, is overflowing with gratitude. Not just a little dropper, but he wants it gushing out, overflowing. Like you've got that cup and you're pouring water out of a pitcher and it gets to the top and then it just spills all over. That's the type of heart he wants us to have that is filled to overflowing with thanksgiving. Somebody had said that being thankful is a great litmus test for the state of our spiritual lives. How thankful are we? 2020 has been a great litmus test of our thankfulness and gratitude, hasn't it? If you wanted our gratefulness and thanksgiving to be put in a crucible and the fire turned up to burn out all that's impure and leave what's grateful and we're grateful and thankful about, this year has done it. But to walk well with him, we constantly have to be walking well with Jesus by being thankful, having an overflow and abundance of thanksgiving. It's also a great preventative of following false teachers. That's what they were challenged with, is they were challenged with false teaching taking place inside and outside the church. And in order for them to walk well, if they were abounding in thanksgiving for God and what he had done and who he sent in Jesus Christ, that's a great preventative measure to be kept from being misdirected by the world. When we're thankful, when we're content, when we are pleased with what God has given us, it's a great preventative for following false teachers that always will promise more, promise something different than what Jesus has in store. Lack of thankfulness leads to discontent, and that discontent will send us looking and searching. As Pascal said, that there is a great, God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. So when there is lack of thankfulness, there is often discontent, or vice versa. They work together, and that discontent sends us seeking things other than the one where we can find true fulfillment and contentment, which is in Jesus Christ. And when we go searching for it, we think that we find the answer, and we start to eat of it, and it's like cotton candy. Tastes great for a minute, and then it disappears. And it doesn't fill you up. And people keep seeking more. And what Paul is trying to write to them there is, have your hearts overflowing with thanksgiving, with gratefulness for who God is. You want to walk well with Jesus, be thankful to God for Jesus and for your faith and for your teaching and for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you're focused on that, it'll be hard to get misdirected, because you'll be so focused on God and what he has provided that we can only abound in thanksgiving. Author Alexander McLaren said the following. He said, "The life which is all influenced by thanksgiving will be pure, strong, happy in its continual counting of its gifts, and its thought of the giver, and not least happy and beautiful in its glad surrender of itself to him who has given himself for and to it. The noblest offering that we can bring, the only recompense which Christ asks, is that our hearts and our lives should say, 'We thank thee, O Lord.' By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually." And the continual thanksgiving will ensure continuous growth in our Christian character and a constant increase in the strength and the depth of our faith. When we are grateful, when we are thankful, we are growing deep, we're growing strong, we're growing in character, we're building upon a foundation, and we will walk well with Jesus. And isn't that, I believe, at the heart and soul of what we are called as believers to do and what we want to do? We want to walk well with Jesus. We want to be well-pleasing to the Lord. I don't think any of us wakes up in the morning and says, "Okay, Lord, today I'm not going to be well-pleasing to you at all. I'm just going to have a bad day, and I don't care. I think we want to wake up and we want to be well-pleasing to Jesus. What can I do to live for Jesus today? It starts by knowing Him, knowing Jesus for salvation, knowing that He has saved us, accepting that salvation, and confessing our sin to Him. And then it also continues by building upon that foundation. And then it continues by also having hearts that are abounding in thanksgiving. How well are those principles built into our lives so that we can continue to walk well with Jesus? This time of invitation is God's invitation to come forward to Him where you stand. Come forward and pray if you want. And what He wants is for us to walk well with Him, to abound in thanksgiving. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you about areas in which we might need to consider a stronger walk with Him. Don't leave here without having that foundation built firmly and without knowing Jesus and without making those decisions that need to be made in order that we might walk well and be obedient to Him. My desire is to see us all walk well with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, while we realize the goal and the desire is to walk well with You, we also realize that it can be a challenge and that there are obstacles along the way. And Father, I pray that these principles will strengthen us in our walk, that we will indeed be firmly rooted and built up in You and established in our faith as we listen to teaching and as we strengthen one another, that our hearts would be so overflowing with thanksgiving that there is nothing that could deter us from being able to give thanks to You. And Father, I pray for each person that's here that they know Jesus. And Father, perhaps part of that walking well with Jesus is a decision that needs to be made to walk obediently in terms of being baptized or being a member of this congregation, that walking well, Father, is obedient. And if, Father, Your Spirit is speaking to some that need to do that, may they be obedient today. Father, this day You've given us, let our hearts be abounding in thanksgiving, and let us walk closely with You for Your glory. In Jesus' name as we pray. Amen.